So I'm Peter Roberts, and I'm the protagonist of the film.
And my name is Farshid Akhlaqi. I'm the director and producer of From Music Into Silence.
And you also are director of cinematography and one of the writers?
Yes.
And an editor?
Yeah. I'm the co-editor.
That's the very interesting thing about this film is the fact that Farshid has done so much of it himself.
You've had your hands in everything, Farshid.
I had to because of the subject matter, because it was very sensitive and I couldn't have a sound man, I couldn't have a cameraman, so it should be just myself. On the set.
And for the listeners to understand what it's about is the fact that I'm a harpist, but I've taught to play in a specific way for people at the bedside, of people who are terminally ill, critically ill, and so I play music to them to address the symptoms that I see in front of me, you know. And so the nature of that is very personal, as Farshid said, and so you can't just have a film crew in there with cameras and boom mics and things like that. Because the area is very sensitive, you know.
So Peter, let's start with you for a moment since you're speaking.
Sure.
How did you find the harp, and how did you find this type of use of the harp?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that happened was, I guess we need to backtrack. 23 or 4 years ago, I had a business of my own. I had reasonably successful furniture business, and I was tired of doing it, and I was in mid-40s, and I just didn't know how I could keep going doing the work. And I was also a crazy musician, loved all sorts of music and played all sorts of instruments, but I was very interested in the healing aspect of music and the way it affects people and so on. To come forward a bit, I, by chance, found out about a training program in the United States, in Montana of all places, at a hospital where they were training musicians to use music in this very, very particular way. And the instrument was the harp of all instruments. I mean, I'd never played a harp until I got there, but the instrument was perfect for the work once I got there and understood. I was just so drawn to it without understanding it exactly.
So you were 40, in your 40s when you first took up the harp.
45, yeah. And I'm still a boy.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, I'm 73 these days, yeah. So it's a late start. They were more interested in the fact that, so this is not performance, you know. I'm not interested in being in an orchestra. This is using music in this very, very particular way. And so it's almost the Zen approach to playing music. And you let the sound and the silence and the tone and the voice and so on, they all become a tapestry through which you can reach out and touch a person and draw them into the beauty of this music. They were more interested in the reasons people were drawn to do this work, and they felt that they could catch you up on the necessaries. And I play all sorts of instruments, but, you know, the harp is a combination between when you look at a keyboard and a guitar, and I played both. So if you imagine a keyboard on its side.
Yeah.
Or just in front of you, the left hand playing the bass note and the right hand playing the treble. And if you happen to pick your hands up one above the other and then think the same way with your left hand playing the bass notes, you know, on harp. And once you get your mind around that, it's not that complex. You know, there are similarities. So there's a lot of technique that had to be learned. There was so much I had to learn. I was really back to base one. Yeah, harp 101 for me. But I really wanted to be there and I really wanted to do this work. And I think that's the reason that I persisted and I love it to this day, you know. Yeah.
So you left everything behind to travel to the States. you let go your business and everything.
I did. And I took my wife and two children, and we lived there for, you know, 2.5 years while I went back to school.
And it took, so there, it was a 2.5 year program?
Therein lies an enormous
tale.
It was a 2 year program, but we had to complete a certain number of what they call bedside music vigils. So I had to get my, I had to do 65 end of life vigils, and so I had to get those numbers up. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to pronounce the word.
Sure, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. A lot of people stumble over it. And so the discipline and that I was trained in is called music thanatology. Music thanatology.
Thanatology. Do you know where that comes from?
Sure, sure. So thanatos was, if he still is, the Greek god of dying. And you know, the ancient Greeks on the battlefield would call out to Thanatos if they were, looked like they were going to die and they were looking for a good death, he would be the one they'd call on. So that's the link. And so the music thanatologist is someone who uses music to try to assist somebody to come to the very end of their life in beauty and in peacefulness.
In the little bio that I read, Peter, from the Australian story that you did in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
It says at that time you were the only Australian thanatologist. Is that the case as well now?
Yep. And when the film was so the answer was yes. Up for the 3 years, I have been the only one. And during this filming, it's been the only one. And at the conclusion of the filming, the good news is there are now two others, and there's one, Mikkel, is in Cairns, and there's another one in Brisbane, yeah. But I don't know, so there we are. So there are three of us covering Australia now.
All right.
They've got Queensland covered, and I'm doing the rest.
On ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, evenings with Grace Williams.
So, Farshid, I'm going to ask you how you heard about Peter's work.
Yeah, for a long time I was thinking of making a movie about beauty and peacefulness because these days whenever you turn on your TV or radio, they are just constantly bad news. I wanted to make something beautiful and peaceful. And when I heard about music thanatology, I wanted to make a narrative movie, a fiction about a music thanatologist. And during my research, I found out there is just one music thanatologist in Australia, and he is Peter. And then I met Peter and I found out about his journey in his life, that he stopped everything. He put everything on hold to travel to the States to be a music thanatologist. And I found out his life has been changed by one of Rumi's poems. And Rumi is Persian, as you know, and I'm Persian as well. I'm originally from Iran. So, yeah, I decided to put everything on hold, same as Peter, and make a documentary about his life and music thanatology in Australia.
Okay. Peter, what is that poem?
It's a poem called The Reed Flute Song. And I heard it at a particular time in my life when I was wrestling with the fact that I just wanted to do something else. I did not know what it was, but there was something more that I wanted to do than just being a guy making money and supporting a family. And so the reed flute song, I've got it here. Would you like to hear a little bit of it?
I would like that very much.
So by Rumi. So there was I was given this poem by a dear lady that I met in a bookshop, and it was on a tape recording, and I was driving home and I put this in the tape recorder, and the poem was accompanied by music, and the music was an oud, you know, it's a stringed instrument. And also a neigh, which is a Turkish instrument made from a reed. And it's got this very beautiful wailing sound to it. It's extraordinary.
Crying sound.
Yeah, crying sound. So hence the reed flute song. So it's the song told by this flute. So here we go. Listen to the story told by the reed of being separated. Since I was cut from the reed bed, I've made this crying sound. Anyone, oh my goodness, I'm starting to cry reading it. Anyone apart from someone he loves understands what I say. And anyone pulled from a source longs to go back. At any gathering I'm there, mingling in the laughing and the grieving, a friend to each. But few will hear the secrets hidden within the notes. There are no ears for that. There's more to the poem, but I think that's the gist of it. The fact that I heard the man saying these words, and it was me that was longing to do something more, and it was, gosh, this is crazy. I'm getting caught up in it. 20 years ago?
25.
Every time I read it, I still hear it. It's like being drawn to something that is beyond you, something that you love, and I didn't know what it was, but I, within the poem, was the fact that he's a poet who's written this, who understood this longing, who understood the longing, and it gave me such great comfort to hear that and know someone understood that. And therein lies a very long tale and a documentary.
Absolutely.
There's another very famous quote by Rumi, which I think is about our film and about Peter, which says, "The only lasting beauty is the beauty of the heart." And it is really the message of the film. We are telling people to just follow their heart, make a change, do something beautiful and peaceful. And it is really working, and people are really interested in watching this film. I couldn't really expect this much of interest, because we had many full house screening sessions. Four in Sydney and one in Adelaide, and now we have a season screening in Melbourne. That's really good, and that's a message for us as well. When you talk about something peaceful and beautiful, people want to listen to you.
In Melbourne, the four were in Melbourne, the sold out sessions. And it's an extraordinary experience for me just to be there and see myself on the screen, number one. But what happens at the film is that there's film closes in, when the film finishes, there's silence. And then people applaud. And I don't know how often you've been to the movies where people have applauded
not
at the
anymore.
End of a film.
Not
anymore. No.
Only very rarely now.
Yeah, so we had that, and then we have silence, and then Farshid and I have had all these hugs from people afterwards. Mm-hmm. People are genuinely touched, and people don't know what to say. There's all that. So it's really gorgeous. There's this beautiful, beautiful, warm response to it, and it's caught us by surprise. Who would have known? Who would have known?
Because you have done something very beautiful. It is just because of you,
I think it's calling to other people too, in the way that the flute called me. This film could be doing the same thing, and I trust that's the case.
So I'm speaking with Farshid Aklagi and with Peter
Roberts.
And it's about a film called From Music into Silence. The synopsis for the film says, for the last 23 years, Peter Roberts has had the most unusual job in Australia. He is the only Australian music
thanatologist.
He plays the harp for people who are facing their last moments of life. Peter's focus is on the dying process, and he helps people to die in peace when often everyone wants them to stay. With the spirit of the Persian poet Rumi running through his veins, Peter has one last task to do before he retires. What is that?
I have to come to the movie to see that. We're going to leave that as a cliffhanger.
Okay.
Want to mention,
if you don't mind, that's fine.
Not at all. That's fair enough. Absolutely.
That's great. So we'll be coming to Hobart on Sunday. July 7th.
And 4:30 screening, I believe.
And it's at the State Cinema. I've never been there, but I understand it's a beautiful theatre and beautifully restored.
It is a beautiful theatre, absolutely.
Is it? Oh, wow. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that at the end of this, because Farshid and I will both be there, there's going to be a Q&A at the end. So it's kind of a nice, friendly environment. So we'll show the film, and then people from the audience can ask us questions, and we can...
Yeah.
we can comment on things.
I am very grateful that you both came to the studio in Melbourne and did this interview. And I'm really looking forward to seeing your film on Sunday. I'm definitely going to come and introduce myself. It's called From Music into Silence. It's screening at the State Cinema this Sunday, July 7th at 4:30.